That's a good point. That distraction, in addition to omitting the truth, they'll distract you from the truth. You're right. And so when you see the distraction index going higher, then you'll know something really bad. So you better be watching their left hand, which is behind their backs, to see what's really going on. Well, let's see now. So with these,
when you were talking about mainstream stuff, I you know, you've been sending me some emails lately, and I downloaded that article out of the Washington Post from December 30th, 1983.
Yes.
It was a little chopped up in the PDF, so I couldn't read the whole thing, but I read plenty that this should really, this warrants everybody's attention. They should definitely look at this article because it says exactly everything that you've been saying.
And in fact, I have it right in front of me. I have I went to my library, my county library, and I got these actual photocopies from the microfiche archives at my library of the Washington Post and the New York Times, and also from U.S. News and World Report, one of the three largest news magazines in the United States. And I have all these photocopies in front of me. I scanned them in high resolution and put them on the Internet. Incidentally, the PDF file you have of the Washington Post, December 30th, 1983 report, which heralds the discovery of Planet X, that copy is going to be pretty very clear if you just click on your magnifier icon. You know, just click the magnifier icon on it, because its print is going to look small. But once you click it on there, it really enlarges it, and you can read every letter, every detail on there. But here's the article from the front page of the Washington Post, and incidentally, it's pertinent because after this article was published, they muzzled the press, and you didn't hear hardly anything else about it for years, decades after that. Okay, Washington Post, December 30th, 1983, front page, title, Possibly as Large as Jupiter, Mystery Heavenly Body Discovered, by Thomas O'Toole, Washington Post staff writer. Quote, a heavenly body possibly as large as the giant planet Jupiter and possibly so close to Earth that it would be part of this solar system has been found in the direction of the constellation Orion by an orbiting telescope aboard the U.S. Infrared Astronomical Satellite, that's IRAS. So mysterious is the object that astronomers do not know if it is a planet, a giant comet, a nearby protostar, that's what they believe it is, that's a brown dwarf star, a nearby protostar that never got hot enough to become a star, a distant galaxy so young that it is still in the process of forming its first stars, or a galaxy so shrouded in dust that none of the light cast by its stars ever gets through. Well, now they've later found, and most scientists and researchers have found, that it is indeed a protostar, which is a brown dwarf star. And again, continuing, this is a quote, too, from the scientist in the article. All I can tell you is that we don't know what it is, Dr. Jerry Neugebauer, Infrared Astronomical Satellite Chief Scientist for California's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Director of the Palomar Observatory for the California Institute of Technology, said in an interview, the most fascinating explanation of the mystery body, which is so cold that it casts no light, see, that's one of the reasons why you can't see it, casts no light and has never been seen by optical telescopes on Earth or in space, this was 1983, of course it's been seen since then, okay, is that the most likely and fascinating explanation is that it is a giant gaseous planet as large as Jupiter and as close to Earth as 50 billion miles. While that might seem like a great distance in Earth-bound terms, it is a stone's throw in cosmological terms, so close, in fact, that it would be the nearest heavenly body to Earth beyond the outermost planet, Pluto. Quote, if it is really that close, it would be a part of our solar system, said Dr. James Hauck of Cornell University's Center for Radiophysics. I'll read that quote again. If it is really that close, it would be a part of our solar system. Well, that's as much as I'll read for now. So there you go. I mean, these are the major, this is all from NASA and the government scientists that are saying that, yeah, this thing is probably a brown dwarf star, and it is so close that it's a part of our solar system. So what you have to ask yourself is this, look, if it's a part of our solar system, is it orbiting our solar system like Pluto orbits or the sun, and like Neptune orbits around the sun, like, you know, Uranus orbits around the sun, and Saturn and Jupiter, all the other planets orbit around the sun. If it is, then we don't have anything to worry about, because it's just orbiting around and around. But just like you're on a runner, we have a bunch of runners, planet Earth, on a circular racetrack, running around this huge circle, each one having its own track situated in outer bands, in their own individual bands of travel, their own orbital paths around on a circular track. Now, if the runners are staying on their track, no runner is going to knock into the other runner and knock him down.
Right, but we have that brown dwarf runner coming in sideways.
Right.
He's on his own track.
You got some crazed spectator out there. He's drunk, and he comes dashing through the center of that circular track, knocking down all the runners, cutting right across the path of all the runners in the circular track. That's disastrous.
Right.
And that's what we've got. Planet XE is not orbiting. We found out that it's on a highly elliptical path. And again, visualize that rubber band that you looped over the top of your index fingernail and pull down. That's the kind of path it's making. It's an orbit, all right, but it's such a long, stretched out elliptical orbit that when it comes through our solar system, comes through that quarter, you know, that quarter that we're holding, that coin that we're holding horizontally between our index finger and our thumb, when it comes around there, it's going to cut through and over solar system. And if you go back to the ancient Mesopotamian texts that Zechariah Sitchin, the great noted archaeologist and anthropologist, writes in his classic landmark book, The Twelfth Planet, he refers to, on page 240, he refers to the Mesopotamian texts, which had stated, and he quotes something to the effect that this Nibiru, this was the name that was, this planet was given by the ancient Sumerian people who lived thousands of years ago, and they witnessed the previous orbital incursions of this planet into our solar system. The Mesopotamians said in their text, quoted by Sitchin, that when Nibiru reaches the station of Jupiter, when it comes in around Jupiter, then it starts getting bright. Then you could see it in the sky. And at that time, one of the first signs, it says, the Mesopotamian texts say that you're going to see tremendous rains and tremendous flooding. That's one of your first signs that this thing is getting close. Oh, we're seeing it in spades. It's been, I mean, I'm probably the only person in the United States who has 250 hours of nothing but severe weather reports from the Weather Channel going back to 2004.
I just want to take a couple-minute break here, give people a chance to pull away from the radio, because
sure,
we've been going solid now for an hour and 10 minutes, just to give people a bathroom break. Also, I had a couple requests. Is there any way you can turn up your mic volume or the volume for your voice?
I wish I could. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking loud enough.
Okay, well, I just...
shout.
So I have
start shouting.
I have a headset on, so it's no problem for me, but I've had a couple of people message me while we were going through this asking if you could possibly increase your volume a little bit.
Oh,
so
I can't, but you know what? My voice, I can talk louder. I just didn't want to shout into the phone, but I'll start talking louder now.
Hey, we have to ring this message across the land, man. You shout it out. So let's take just a couple-minute break. I'm just going to play a song and just give people a chance to get a drink, go to the bathroom, whatever they have to do. Is that okay?
Sure, fine.
I'm back in like two and a half minutes, something like that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
Hello. Darren, are you there?
Ah, yes, I'm back. My infamous sticky mute button. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes. Okay. I would like to run through some of these headline bulletins, each one briefly describing a facet of many facets of the subject of Planet X, so that your listeners could maybe jot down keywords along the way as they run through this list, and then they can come back and ask questions based upon some of the keywords mentioned here. So if I can just run through this real quick, I'll continue. We talked about the movies, hinting about Planet X, the movie Knowing, the movie 2012, the movie Deep Impact, and also the History Channel has been having a lot of movies about disasters. So they're warning us in the movies because it's fictitious and they don't have to come out and make make an official statement. In a sense, some of the higher up people, not the really highest members of the ruling elite, but other members who are more concerned about the public are trying to warn us. Okay, next point. James McCanney stated, quote, "There is an object moving into our solar system," unquote. Next point. NASA is under contract to maintain secrecy. In other words, if you're a scientist working for NASA, you must be as secretive as a CIA agent, or else you get fired or prosecuted or even sent to jail. Next point. Astronomers have already named this huge body Planet X. That's how certain they are of it. So it's not nebulous. It's not an if or a maybe. It has been named Planet X for 110 years. We'll get onto more details later on. But continuing on, the Hubble Space Telescope. They reported that the Hubble Space Telescope had failed, and they were unable to use it. Well, this report came out when about maybe 20 years ago, 20 years ago. But the fact is that the Hubble Space Telescope is not allowed to show us the actual images that they were taking, and that's why they gave us this phony report that it failed, to sort of give themselves an excuse as to why we could not see images taken by the Hubble Space Telescope. Next point. The heliosphere has diminished due to extraordinary persistent discharging of the heliosphere. And we'll get into more details about that. That's a little bit scientific, but essentially it tells us that these comets have entered this huge sphere, and visualize it as a huge bubblegum bubble surrounding our solar system. And it's really made of plasma, glowing or positive electrically charged particles, forming a sphere around the entire outer solar system. Now, that electrically charged particles have been discharged and diminished so that our heliosphere is basically wiped out or greatly reduced in its intensity. That heliosphere acts very much like our Earth's magnetic field does, in that it provides a face mask for our solar system, just as the Earth's magnetic field provides a protective face mask for Earth. When the heliosphere gets wiped out or diminished, now we're wide open to damage coming from deep space, and that is gamma ray bursts coming from other solar systems, other stars. We have a tremendous amount of gamma rays being emitted, and our heliosphere can no longer block them because the heliosphere, that bubble surrounding our solar system, has been diminished. As a result, the evidence is that Earth is now being struck with an extraordinary number of gamma ray bursts, GRBs. There's more evidence that, indeed, why has the heliosphere been diminished? Because it's been incoming comets are causing it to discharge. In the same manner that you have, for example, one of these outdoor bug zappers that operate on a very high voltage applied between the plates or the grids of a huge electric lantern in your yard, and you want to zap these bugs, mosquitoes, and moths with this bug zapper, you have high voltages applied there. And whenever a bug or a mosquito flies in between the plates, what that mosquito does is reduces the resistance, but in a more graphic way, that bug increases the conductivity of the air gap between the highly charged positive plate and the highly charged negative plate, the high voltage negative plate. As a result, when the conductivity of that air gap has been increased, more conductive, then you have conditions are set up so that the discharging can occur. The negative electrons go from the negative plate to the positive plate. And that's what happens to our heliosphere. The positively charged, positive electric charge particles in the heliosphere discharge to the largely negative sun at the center of the solar system. And that's what gradually decays, diminishes, discharges our heliosphere. This is a very graphic and very, in a way, it's a celestial piece of evidence that something is happening and that we've got big problems. We've got foreign bodies entering our solar system. Well, anyway, going on to the next point.
I don't want to take up time with questions. I really want you to say everything you have to say. And the other thing is, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, if you wanted to come back on Thursday and continue on, I'd be willing to do that. But that's up to you. We can talk about that after the show if you want.
Okay, I would be very happy to come back on Thursday.
Okay, because I'm getting that sense that you're feeling a little rushed, and I know you have a lot of information. The show has been great so far, and you know, I would just why not keep going with it if it, you know. But my question from chat that I got is someone wanted to know, can this be stopped?
Yes and no. I'll give you the no portion first. The disaster itself cannot be stopped. The world will absolutely, definitely go through great disaster, great destruction. It has happened in the past because this comet comes in. This cometary huge body is on a cometary orbit, which is like a pendulum. Every time it swings into our solar system, it causes tremendous destruction. There's no way to stop it at all. However, it can be stopped for the individual. The person like you or me or the person who asked that question, it can be stopped because anyone who calls out to God will be saved. God has absolutely shown us in the scriptures that he is the pitcher on the pitcher's mound hurling this planet at us. He has shown us in so many scriptures, and I'll get into them later on. The book of Isaiah, chapter 24, for example, I get into details explaining exactly what God said there in 600 B.C. Put the words into the mind of Isaiah to write down, told Isaiah to write it down, and told people how they could be saved. Isaiah, chapter 24, Isaiah, chapter 13, the book of Revelation, the book of Matthew 24, Mark. So you can be saved if you call out to God. I'll show you the scriptures where it says that if you call out to God, you can be saved from this disaster. But Earth itself and most of the people on Earth will definitely be killed because most of them will not call out to God for some reason. I mean, I shouldn't say most. You know, I mean, the scriptures do say that there will be a great multitude, which no man can number, which will come to faith. And I think because of the great fear and terror that's coming, there will be a lot of people saved. So I have to take that back.
Supposedly, in a lot of these prophetic writings, there's supposed to be a large resurgence of faith as we're nearing the end of times as we know it.
Yes, that's so true. Because if you look at any situation, you know from past experience, and you know from your own character and your own nature, that when a person is in terror, they're going to call out to God. I mean, there were times in my life when I thought I was going to be killed, and I called out to God. I was an atheist at the time. I was in fact a belligerent atheist. And I thought it was ridiculous that anybody could even believe in somebody who created us. I thought we all evolved. Well, at this time when I thought I was going to be killed, instantly I turned my heart to God. I turned my mind to God and pleaded and begged for him to save my life. So this is what happens to even the most, you know, bitter, callous atheist, that he calls out to God. Like if you're in an airplane and all of a sudden, you know, you're an atheist, you never think about God, you don't care about God, you don't even know he exists, that plane starts dropping like a rock, and in a second you call out to God. I mean, you know him instantly. All this smoke screen is gone. So anyway, there's going to be a tremendous amount of faith, and many people will be saved. So that's what you do, and you can be comforted to know that you will be saved under those spiritual conditions. Going on to the next point, these GRBs we talked about, gamma ray bursts striking the Earth. Okay, next point. Global disaster is recurring and repetitive because this planet X is on a cometary orbit. So every 3,600 years, it's almost like clockwork. You can measure the period of a pendulum, how many seconds it takes to swing from one end to the other, like a grandfather's clock. You can know just what the precise period of that pendulum is. Well, a comet X or planet X is like a cometary pendulum. You know just how many years it's going to take, about 3,600 years, in order to enter our solar system, do its damage at a distance, and then come back out again and go away for another 3,600 years. incidentally, this brings up a good point. I've been able to index these time settings, and it's really amazing. I went back to the sinking of Atlantis, and I studied the what the geologists said and the ancient historians. Most ancient historians believe that the sinking of Atlantis, a global destruction, occurred around 9,000 BC. And 9,000 BC, okay, now if you do the arithmetic, or I'll do it for you, that was when Atlantis sunk, and we can see cities, marble columns, marble pathways, marble staircases, spiral staircases in the depths of the ocean, encrusted with coral that have been dredged up, that have been salvaged off the coast of practically every coast in the world. Off the coast of Japan, submerged in the ocean, are these ancient cities of Atlantis. Off the coast of the United States, Florida, the Bimini Road, the Bimini Wall has been discovered. It's a 1,000-yard-long marble wall. You can go on YouTube and Google it. You'll see some of the underwater footage that's been taken. I have footage on videotape of a pyramid. Believe it or not, this is amazing. A pyramid. They looked down with sonar down below the ocean, and they saw this pyramid with the capstone missing. Now, that's what we see on our back of our dollar bill. So you see, these people had the same type of secret society, satanic worshiping leadership that we have today, back then, thousands of years ago. But that was 8,000, roughly 9,000 BC, 8,900 BC, sinking of Atlantis. Now, Noah's flood. We have found that there's a great there's a Bible scholar, Harold Camping, in Family Radio. Now, this guy doesn't know anything about politics, but he's studied the Bible for over a half century. Him and his team of scholars have determined that the Noah's flood, which destroyed the world, was around 5,000 BC. We can stretch that out to 5,300 BC and say that Camping made a 300-year error. Okay, so now you've got just the right time interval between the sinking of Atlantis in 8,900 BC and then the next orbital incursion of Planet X, 5,300 BC. Okay, now we go back to the next incursion, which more recent. That was 1,630 BC. If you do the arithmetic, you'll see that these numbers all add up. The intervals in between these periods, and I'm telling you, these time markers, is around 3,660 years.
Hmm.
And we know that the most recent incursion of Planet X and its global destruction was 1,630 BC. The reason we know is, first of all, Bible scholars tell us it's around somewhere around 1,500 BC, but they're always off by 100 or so years. Then we get a more accurate measure by looking at what the geologists have found. This is amazing. The geologists have looked back and seen the great Santorini volcanic explosion. This Santorini volcano is an island in the Aegean.